set out to accommodate our legislator. Get some people signed up. And we're going to hear House Bill 3595. And you please identify yourself and tell us why you want this bill.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Karen Minnis, State Representative from District 20. I bring before you House Bill 3565, which is a bill that deals with taxation of attorneys that live outside and practice outside of the boundaries of the city of Portland. I said the wrong number.
She's going to pass the wrong bill.
3595, I apologize. It deals with attorneys that live outside the boundaries, have their practice outside the boundaries. In this particular case, the city of Portland, which, by the way, is the only city in the state of Oregon that has this practice of taxing attorneys that come in to use the county courthouse. This was brought to my attention in the beginning of the session by this gentleman who is frustrated because he cannot find any relief. He practices outside of the city boundaries. His clientele is based outside of the city boundaries, but because he has to drive in to use the county courthouse, which is paid for by county and state taxes, the city of Portland requires him to purchase a business license, basically it's a tax on his income. So he came to the legislature for relief. This case has been to court, and the courts upheld it, so it requires a statutory change in order to provide him and others that live outside the city of Portland. I didn't find any real nexus. The city's rationalization for charging him this fee is basically he drives on our roads, which of course he pays for. He parks in our parking lots, which of course he pays a fee, and he flushes our toilets. And that was said to my face in my office. I think that kind of raw money grab is reprehensible, and that's why we brought this bill before the legislature, see if we could find relief for those that I feel are taxed unfairly. The gentleman pays Troutdale tax, he pays Multnomah County tax, and because he has to drive into Portland to use the state and county courthouse, the city of Portland has their hand open and requires him to pay a fee as well. So I would appreciate the committee's favorable treatment of this bill, and appreciate the community's time, and I'll answer any questions.
I'm driving on the state highway. Dave, do you have any questions for Ken? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have Marsh Gaffori and Lynn McNamara?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm Marge Kafori, representing the City of Portland. And with me is Commissioner Jim Francisconi. The reason he is here, among other reasons, is that the Bureau of Licenses is in Mr. Francisconi's portfolio, so he's very familiar with the License Bureau and the licensing scheme that the City of Portland has. And also with me is Terry Thatcher, who is with the City Attorney's Office. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you this afternoon about 3595 and to hopefully clear up some misconceptions about how the license is imposed and how it works. You have heard from the proponent of the bill that anyone who comes into the city and merely files papers at the city's or at the courthouse located within the city limits is subject to a business license, and this is an unfortunate misunderstanding and mischaracterization of how the license works. Without going any further at this moment and being available to answer your questions, I'd like to have Mr. Francisconi proceed, and then we will answer any questions you might have after that.
Hi, Senator. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Senators. I'll be brief here. The mayor wanted to come herself. Of all the issues being considered here now, this is potentially the most serious threat to the economic stability of the city government for several reasons. As you know, you have to be careful when making tax policy, and we're concerned about some of the unintended consequences of this, not only to the city's general fund, but to the economic development strategies of the city. we have an expensive infrastructure downtown that's focused on having financial folks downtown, accountants downtown, doctors downtown. And when you do this kind of legislation based on principal place of business, it's not only a threat to our general fund, but it's a threat to the business community downtown, because it creates a powerful incentive to locate lawyers outside of the city of Portland, other institutions, doctors who use OHSU Hospital outside of the city of Portland. I think Representative Minnis has identified a legitimate issue, which is how much is enough de minimis contact for any jurisdiction to tax. That's the question. But the remedy that she seeks to get at that question is principal place of business. That's a very inappropriate standard. It's how much contact you have in the jurisdiction. If you pass this legislation, you're effectively passing legislation that the state doesn't follow in its own income tax apportionment or in its same principle that we tax Washington folks who live, who come over and use city services. So there is a question about how much de minimis contact. Just using the courthouse is not sufficient for a tax unless it's done on a repeated basis and used where you get clients inside the city and you do it on a regular basis. What the business license folks have proposed with the Oregon State Bar is to create a process to look at what constitutes de minimis contact and have a clear standard, not just with lawyers, but across the board. That's the appropriate process to address this issue, not a piecemeal approach that would favor law firms that have principal places of business under this legislation in Seattle, but have branch offices in Portland, we would not be able to tax under this interpretation. So when you get into trying to get the kind of remedy here, it really threatens not only people who come in on a regular basis to do business in Portland, but it threatens other law firms, other accounting firms down the road, physicians, etc. That's why we consider this such a serious threat to the stability of the city, and so does the business community in Portland. I'm not just speaking now on behalf of the city council. So that's why, Steve Janik, you have a letter from Paul Janik addressing this question more eloquently than I could. So I please, what appears to be, what is a legitimate issue that was brought to the representative, this is not an appropriate remedy. Now, I'd like to go into a little more detail, unless that's provoked some questions about how the business license works. But I wanted to make that point up front so that you understood the seriousness with which we take this. And that provokes it. On the mechanism of the bill itself, it's based on annual net adjusted income earned in the city of Portland by an employer. Earnings may be apportioned. So if there's de minimis contact where you just go to the courthouse, well, first of all, if you go on a regular basis in Portland, you're only charged 2.2% on the work done in Portland. If it's de minimis contact, just going to the courthouse once or twice, you're not charged anything. I want to make that point clear. A sole proprietorship must gross at least $25,000 a year to be subject to the business license tax at all. And then there's a minimum of $100 a year. So putting into context, a sole proprietorship would have to report net adjusted earnings in Portland, for work in Portland, of more than $5,000 a year to pay $100. Portland's tax is based on well-established and accepted tax theory upon which the state operates, that earnings attributable to a jurisdiction may be taxed by that jurisdiction regardless of principal place of business. And earnings attributable to multiple jurisdictions may be apportioned among those jurisdictions proportionate to where the income is derived. This legislation throws out that premise. The state, as I've said, practices this theory. Other states practice this theory. It has been proposed that practicing attorneys have no choice but to come downtown because that's where the courthouse is. It has also been proposed that practicing attorneys are uniquely burdened. We would like to just add the following to what has already been stated. HB 3595 would excuse any lawyers physically located outside of Portland. The premise is that these lawyers are first forced to pay the tax. However, the practice of many lawyers, whether in or outside the city, never involved having to come to the courthouse. Secondly, the license fee has been designed to achieve a level playing field between those inside of Portland and those outside of Portland, and I've already commented about that. That's why this will have devastating impact. Third is, again, we have architects who have to come down to use the Portland building on a regular basis. This would throw out that fee. We have doctors at OHSU. We have plumbers who come in. It's the same premise. So there does need to be a de minimis contact level, but not based on principal place of business. So I guess, again, my suggestion is let us more clearly define de minimis contact in a process assess that you can then review to see if you're comfortable with, but it won't be based on principal place of business.
I guess in my own mind, if this gentleman who lives currently out northeast outside the city,
Troutdale,
and he comes in, he has to come to the courthouse to get service to commercial county courthouse, but he doesn't do any business in Portland, then he would not pay any tax.
If he comes in on a regular basis, what the practice is, he's asked a questionnaire to explain how much contact there is. If there's no clients, if he comes in on a regular basis to do business at the courthouse, let's say it's 100 times a year, he's charged. If he comes in once or twice, he's not charged. Where there's a gray area is in the 10-15 period of time that needs some clarification.
If his practice is in Troutdale and does his practice in Troutdale, but he's supposed to go to Portland because that's where the county courthouse is, why would he be taxed?
If he's doing it on a regular basis, they look to see at other factors as where the clients are coming from, etc. If he comes 100 times, there's the theory that you are using roads and city services. If you come once or twice, I'm using extremes here, then they're not charged.
But even if he comes in 100 times a year, most of the time he's on state highways going in, maybe 10 blocks in city streets.
Then this legislation, I understand your point. You could disagree with our premise that if you come in 100 times, you're using services of the city. So then the legislation should read, if you use the county courthouse and you're forced to, you don't charge a business income tax. You and I would disagree perhaps still about that bill, but that's not what this bill says. This bill says principal place of business outside the city. So it opens up all kinds of people who have clients in the city but have rings around their offices outside. See, the point I'm trying to get at is this goes so far, it would have lawyers ringing the city with regular clients inside the city, and we couldn't charge them, right? That's why, that's our fundamental objection with this.
Yeah. Okay. Does Gresham and the lawyers coming to Gresham, do they charge like this? Is it only because it's a county courthouse is in Portland?
Gresham has a business income tax, but I'm not familiar with the principle as to how they use it, so I can't really answer that.
And doesn't the county pay for the infrastructure at the county courthouse?
Yeah.
And do you realize that every time he drives in, he pays 24 cents a gallon state gas and 18.4 cents federal gas taxes, and that money comes back to us to help, you know, keep the infrastructure up. This man's getting hit for the infrastructure.
Well, I mean, I could debate you in terms, I mean, you're correct on those points. I could add police, fire, traffic, road maintenance, et cetera, that are city responsibilities. But but rather than have a debate on that, the point that I'm trying to make here with this testimony is let's take a different lawyer now, a lawyer who has a real estate company who locates in Lake Oswego on what's the name of that road? Cruiseway. See, the incentive to open your practice there and then service Standard Insurance and the firms downtown, your principal place of business will be there. Under this legislation, which you have to consider as seriously as the remedy for the client being presented to you will cause those other firms to move outside. And that's not the problem you're trying to solve. You're trying to solve another problem, but that's not what this legislation does. You and I could still disagree about that.
Yeah, you're creating a problem. I think it's a good deal.
It's not a good deal for the business community, of course, let me tell you.
Well, this now, principal business is not inside Portland. And when the business people in Portland drive out to some, you know, out in Gresham, or when they drive to Clackamas County, then the Clackamas County would pay if they got, you know, the car wreck, police, the fire. I don't understand why you're even bringing fire into it, because you shouldn't have to pay for the fire protection of those buildings. He pays for the fire protection and traffic.
No, but in Portland, the fire is the first responder on traffic accidents.
Okay. And in Troutdale, they are. But they're not charging Portland businesses to pay for their fire.
Well, I don't know if they aren't, are or not. They could, but it's this larger issue I'm concerned about, Representative Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Okay, I'm trying to envision how the business tax would work in terms of if, I'll use this example. I'm a law firm in Troutdale. Now, if I physically go into the city of Portland where my clients are, that is doing business within the city of Portland, and therefore I owe the tax. However, if I were to tell their people, come out to my law firm in Troutdale, even though my client's business is in Portland, would I be doing business in Portland because they're in my law firm in Troutdale?
No.
And yet the impact could be almost identical, especially if you were to use fax machines and emails and that sort of thing. It could almost be similar to my having a physical presence there.
Senator Drucker, Senator Wild, you're absolutely right that in the changing economy, an economy of email and taxes and all that kind of thing, the notion of physical presence to define what is or is not doing business may be on its way to being out of date. But the city of Portland is constrained, as are all municipalities, by the laws laid down by the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has talked about physical presence being a central component of doing business. And so the city of Portland has utilized that constitutional principle to say that that's where we'll draw the line, because we know that that's legal, we know that's appropriate, we know it's done all over the country. And as Commissioner Francesconi points out, that's sort of what the state of Oregon does when it says if you do business here, if you're in the state, we will tax you. So I think you're raising an insightful point about the changing economy in this country, but it's one that right now the law just hasn't dealt with, and we aren't trying to deal with that right now. But you're absolutely right in terms of the philosophical issue you're raising. I'm sorry. I'm Sharon Spatcher, Deputy City Attorney for the City of Portland.
But you certainly, Senator, wouldn't want to go to this bill, which says principal place of business is the only basis.
I understand your point, but I guess the problem I have, if a person has a business out in Troutdale, and he doesn't do business in Portland, but he has to go into the courthouse, because that's where the courthouse is, even if he has to go in every day, 365 times a year, I wouldn't think he'd have to pay a business tax.
Well,
if he does business in Portland, in other words, if this attorney has clients in the city, then I think we ought to pay a tax. If you have a business tax, the fact that you can't change the location of the courthouse and you have to go into that, I don't think that should activate the tax.
Again, that's a risk of repeating myself. That's not what this bill says, though. I mean, then you would have a bill that says what you just said, and it wouldn't open up this Pandora's box that I've addressed. That's not what this bill says.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, that's the major point I want to leave with you, Senator. On that point, if it's 365 days a year, then you are using city services, I would submit, that would allow taxing authority, okay? And at one or two, there isn't. So there is a gray area in there that we do need to address. I don't want to say that we shouldn't address this issue of what is de minimis contact, but you can't address it this way.
I just thought of a new thing. Okay, so let's use the example where I come into the courthouse on a regular basis, therefore I am doing business within the city. However, in terms of what the tax applies to, I mean, would it apply to the amount spent in terms of filing fees and that sort of thing, or would it be the entire amount of, say, a judgment or I mean, I'm trying to picture it because on the one hand, yes, I am using city services, but I also am obligated to use them by a physical structure that requires that I be there. But in fact, the income I generate is as much a part of where my law firm is as it is the work I do in the courtroom itself. And so...
And you're not taxed for the work in the law firm at all.
Okay. Okay, so like my hours that I argue the case in the courtroom, I pay for. The ones in preparing in my law firm, I don't pay.
Right. Okay. Now, you could tailor a more narrow legislation just aimed at circumstances where you're required to be there that doesn't expose doctors and other lawyers who come in, etc. But that's not this bill.
Right.
So go ahead.
Are you the only city that does this?
Sorry. Senator Cannon, we are the only city in the state of Oregon that does this. There are many cities in the country that have a similar...
Yeah, I'm in Oregon.
Yes.
See, we could charge everybody that comes to the capital, a city, this means city of Salem, could charge everybody that comes to the Supreme Court just because they came here for a percentage of the lawyer's annual salary because they all have to appeal to the Supreme Court here. I'm surprised we haven't dealt with this before now. And I'm from, a long time ago, Umatilla County. I can't imagine Pendleton charging a city tax from the lawyers that happen to be in the little towns in the county. I can't imagine this tax, especially on their salary, their income.
Well, then we should draft legislation that addresses that, that does not favor, let's say, Portland law firms who come down here to do business, but then you can't tax.
What if we just said Multnomah County or City of Portland cannot do this? Then you'd be like every other city, every other county.
Let me ask you if there was an amendment to the bill that said if you don't do business in the city, within city limits, that you wouldn't have to pay a business tax. You know, I think but your objection to the fact that an attorney could live outside of Portland, do all his business in Portland, and not pay any tax, that because his office is outside of Portland. Is that what you say this bill does?
Yeah, that's one of the effects. Okay. The issue is what is de minimis contact, not residence, principal place. You have to have a multi-pronged approach to define if you're doing business in the county. I mean, in the city.
We probably would not agree. The fact that you have to go to the courthouse, because that's where it is, for me, it wouldn't be that you, and if you had to go there every day, it wouldn't be that a taxable situation. We probably would not agree on that issue.
Well, no, I would agree with you that if it's a few times, if it's 365, I might disagree with you. But the practice right now is not to charge for a few times.
But what this bill does is if they give up, if their office is outside of the Portland area and they do business in Portland, they don't pay taxes. This bill does.
That's right, Your Honor.
Just like every other time.
I can understand why that would be objectionable, but the fact that you have to go downtown, even if you went twice a day, would bother me. As long as you're not making money in Portland, it wouldn't be a problem. The fact that you have to go there to get to that service.
Senator Durfler, Terrence Patrick, I think that the commissioners point out that we probably do have, there's probably a philosophical disagreement on whether coming downtown to work at the courthouse is doing business. Under our code, obviously, it is doing business. If it's done on a regular basis and you're making $250 an hour to go to the courthouse, you're making money in downtown Portland. That's doing business. But as Commissioner Francesconi also pointed out, the way this bill is currently drafted, it is not only those lawyers that come to the courthouse. We aren't only granting a tax exemption in this bill for trial lawyers, which is really what the concern seems to be. If you come to the courthouse, you have to pay the tax. What this bill says is if you have an office on Cruz Way, but you make $1 million in real estate closings in downtown Portland at some bank office and all your clients are in Portland, we still can't tax you. So,
you understand that, Senator.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree with you on that point. But we would have a disagreement on the
question of the fact word apparent.
Your business is outside of Portland. The fact that you have to go downtown because that's what the courthouse is, shouldn't be a cost, shouldn't activate the tax, in my opinion. There's a difference.
Senator, if I may, I would also like to call the committee's attention to the letter that we handed out from Mr. Janik, Balganik. From the reason you have this letter in front of you is that he was asked by the city and agreed to chair a business, legal, and other interested party review committee, which was impaneled to go through the business license. We have it reviewed by interested people in the city periodically to make sure that it is fair and that it is equitable and that there are no untoward loopholes in the tax, that everybody is equally treated under the law. Mr. Janik did this for us. It was a review of about a year. And he writes to you with his very deep concerns about 3595 based on his now pretty extensive knowledge of the business license. I hope you will spend a few moments reading his letter before dispensing with this bill.
I have another question. Do you have amendments?
No, we do not. No.
You're opposing the bill?
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your question. Did you have something else you want?
No.
Okay. I'd like to have come back. We would again. Representing Menace, I should.
Yes.
Listen, graduated.
Graduated.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with, I can understand their concern that if you had your business in Gresham, but you're doing all your business in Portland, mm-hmm. you wouldn't pay tax. Is that what you thought the bill would do?
No. I would have no problem with an amendment that addressed, if their clientele is in Portland, I have no problem with that. In this particular case, this gentleman's client base is Troutdale, Wood Village, Gresham. And they found him by overlaying the county tax with the city tax, figure out if he's paying county tax, and then make the assumption that because he's coming to the courthouse that he owes an X amount of dollars when his client base is not based in Portland. So I would have no objection if we have attorneys that are making a lot of money in the city of Portland amending the bill to address that issue.
So if they're doing business with clients that have either their residence or their business in Portland, you wouldn't object to having that part taxed?
That's correct. If they're in Portland, I have no problem with that.
The bill doesn't do that. Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
Well, I don't think it's pretty broad, and I would have no objections to narrowing the bill if that would make them.
I would have no problem supporting you on the issue that if they live in Troutdale
right.
and their business in Troutdale, but they have to go to Portland because of the courthouse is
right.
They shouldn't be taxed. And they
right. They offered no amendments to this bill, and when they were asked if they would like to work with us, Bob Olson of Oregon State Bar asked him if they would like to help on this issue, and they declined.
Well, I have a question. If you are a lawyer in Troutdale, why wouldn't you file your with title company and not with Gresham? Why would you go downtown Portland to a title company? I think that it should be, and same in Cruz, that's what they said. You mean when you say narrow it so it's all business at the courthouse? Because that's where you have to go.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So we can narrow it right to the courthouse. I have no objection to that.
Let's see if they do.
Okay. All right. Thank you for it. Lynn, did you want to come up and...
Mm-hmm.
thank Senator Zirkler, members of the committee. I'm Lynn McNamara from the League of Oregon Cities. Our concern is more broad. It's regarding the preemption of local government authority, and it sounds like you're working in a direction that would narrow this bill to what appears to be the core issue of the courthouse. Our larger concern is how cities are supposed to pay for the services in an era of property tax limitations, not specifically for Portland, but obviously this applies to all cities, even though Portland is the only one that handles their business license tax in this fashion. Many cities do have a business license tax, and in the ordinances that I've seen, they do apply it to those who are doing business in the city. They measure it, however, by employees in the city, and so that is why you don't run into the situation.
Based on that, the assumption that every tax and service that come in and use our services.
Mm-hmm. So that is our larger concern, Senator, and narrowing the bill would make more sense if you are going to go in that direction.
I think if they do business and make money in Portland, they ought to pay tax. If there's a business tax, I don't think a business tax is the best way to increase business.
Yeah. Well, yes, Mr. Chair, and as a Portland residential taxpayer, I'm glad to see that the cost of city services are spread among a larger base than just the residential taxpayer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to testify in this?
I just don't want to testify. It could be fairly simple in doing this and simply say that you've done within the courthouse or you could use a different definition or a different title for it, but it is not considered doing business within any jurisdiction. That would be fairly simple, and that would exclude any taxes imposed on what takes place there.
I think if they do business in Portland, they make money in Portland, they ought to pay the tax.
Yep.
No problem with that. Well, I guess what we'll do is we're going to close the public hearing and go in the morning and pick up to do that. Okay? Okay, Hospital 2021, we are not going to hear today because we still have some things we're working on. And we're going to open up a work session on 1180. And Brian, if you would cover what the amendments do, and we have a -5 amendments on 1180. And if you'll cover what they do.
First of all, the -5 amendments are almost the same as the -4 amendments, with one minor correction on page 18. And that correction, or that change from the -4 to the -5, and the -5 to allow the option for arbitration on the mutual agreement of the parties. That was what it was intended for the when the -4 amendments were drafted, and it just didn't happen. So the -5 takes care of that and allows for that the option of arbitration upon mutual agreement of the parties. And then in summary of what the -5 do, as we've talked about in the past about the -4, some of the major points, they treat teachers the same as administrators by changing the date for school board, a school board to take action on a teacher contract from March 15th to April 1st. They allow the performance evaluation of both teachers and administrators to include an assessment of the effectiveness in producing individual student achievement growth. We talked about that at our last meeting. They restore the pre-Senate Bill 80 fair dismissal appeals board review process of dismissal and non-extension decisions. Go back to the previous. So that would mean that we have three members of the fair dismissal appeal board sit on a panel to hear the case. Okay, well, the -5 amendments then would not change current law, so we retain current law allowing a teacher whose contract is not extended to appeal the non-extension decision. The amendments would also restore the option for arbitration with the use of an independent hearings officer as the arbitrator. The arbitrator will be required to use the same rules and levels of evidence as are required by the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. The -5 amendments restore collective bargaining subjects as permissive and not prohibited. So it adds the process and criteria for dismissal or contract non-extension of contract teachers and dismissal or non-renewal of probationary teachers as permissive subjects of collective bargaining. The amendments also provide that contract renewal and non-extension decisions are confidential and may not be released to the public without a teacher's consent unless the public interest requires disclosure. To help you understand how this differs, the Dash 5 differs from Senate Bill 1180 as originally introduced. The Dash 5 amendments delete the super teacher program provisions, delete the provision relating to successful schools, and delete the disciplinary academy pilot project. So those are not included in the Dash 5 amendments, as they were not included in the Dash 4.
Okay. Any questions on what the bill does?
Okay, go ahead. I'm going through, and does anyone know what changed between Dash 4 and Dash 5?
Yes, on page 18.
Oh, okay.
The Dash 5 allows for the option of arbitration on mutual agreement of the parties.
Oh, I didn't get that yet. Okay. That was an error in printing the bill. That was the original bill.
Section B on page 18.
That's I believe that's 1A. That's section 10.
I see. Yeah, okay.
Subsection 1A. At line 10 and 11.
To the Dash 4. Okay. It's identical to the Dash 4.
That would be... the language we're looking at is at line 11, lines 10 and 11. And it says, let me read it. Line 8, if a district school board dismisses any contract teacher or does not extend the contract of any contract teacher, and if the district school board and the teacher or the teacher's representative agree, so we have the district school board and the teacher or the teacher's representative have to agree, then binding arbitration may be used in lieu of an appeal to the FDAB. And that's the difference from the Dash 4 to the Dash 5.
Okay, is there any other questions about what the bill does?
That's it? That's the difference between the 4 and the 5?
And that was just a drafting oversight, or that would be the intent all along, was to allow for that option of arbitration if both of the parties agree.
Okay. Do you need one more time to look through it?
That would probably help.
Okay. Is that until 6 o'clock tonight?
Okay.
Yeah. vote, so if we vote on this, we get to go home.
I like getting to the lowest common
denominator. There you go.
Except HB 2839. Big revenue.
Do we have to move the dashboard on size?
No, just
size. Are we in work session?
No. Yeah, we just started out with work session.
Okay, I move the dash 5 amendment, Senate Bill 1180.
Okay, any objections for amendment to dash 5?
Yes.
Okay, please note that there's a group subject.
Okay, can I move the dash, then it's adopted. You don't do a roll. Okay, I move Senate Bill 180 as amended.
Oops, 70.
Later, 1180 as amended. Oops. To the floor. With the group pass.
Okay. Have a roll call vote, please.
Senator White.
No.
Senator Trump.
Aye.
Senator Cannon.
Aye.
Senator Duke.
No.
Senator Durkin.
Aye. Three. Pass and upstairs.
Okay, good. All right, okay.
I'm not the one who's in there. Okay, that's, I think, all we have to do today.
Oh,
I was trying to get it. Okay. We will have 1181 on Monday.
Okay.
We had a chance to review that.
Great. That's great.
And if we can't, we don't have enough information to carry it over to Tuesday.
Okay. I understand the governor has amendments to the 1181. Is that?
We are sort of using his theory instead of doing it on my teachers say it's an overall, it's an entire budget, which includes administrators classified and the whole work. And let the Department of Administrative Services set the percentage that we should maintain the control.
Will we be able to look at the amendment before the committee meeting?
Yeah. Have they been completed?
Yeah.
Can we get them to the committee people? Mm-hmm. Could you do that? Could you help?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's a good thing. We can have to address them later. As long as we're paying for it, we need to have some sort of control and
what I just would disagree with you. That's the school board.
Well, unfortunately, the voters made it for super school board.
I agree.
Okay.
Brian?